4. What is prayer? Subject on prayer, preaching the gospel, written ministry, problems of youth, ministry of the word, commendation. These articles are by Eugene Hollingsworth, William Murray, Lester Wilson, Edmund Best, John W. Graham Hall, August Van Ryan, Lester Wilson. If you'd like to have one after the meeting, why pick one up. You're welcome to. Let us turn to John 14. John chapter 14. And verse 5, John 14 and 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. We all are meeting today because we're taking up the various dialogues. First of all, the dialogue between the Lord Jesus and Peter. Then this dialogue between Thomas and the Lord. Next week we'll be speaking on the dialogue between Philip and the Lord Jesus. And we'll likely include also Jude's conversation with the Lord. Each one picking up a different subject. Last week we were speaking on Christ as the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, the Bible's a wonderful book. If you were to turn over to the little book of Jude, you would find a verse there that goes something like this. Woe be unto them who have gone in the way of Cain, who have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Now, if you look at that verse, you'll find you have the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and in connection with Korah, you have death, because the earth opens its mouth and swallows 250 of Korah's company. So if you connect that with this verse, you place it right alongside, Christ says, I am the way. In contrast to the way of Cain, he says, I am the truth. In contrast to the error of Balaam, he says, I am the life. In contrast to death of the sons of Kor. So you see, he's just the opposite. He's just the contrary to that which is of Satan. And Satan was the one who was behind Cain. He's the one who was behind Balaam. He's the one who was behind Korah and his company. So really, the conflict is between the Lord Jesus Christ and Satan. Christ as the truth, and Satan the opposite to the truth. When you think of the lies, the falsehoods, the error that abounds today, how wonderful to have the truth. Are we going to allow the error, the falsehood, and the lies to swamp the truth? Such as is seen at the defeatism that's in that article I read. And in our country there are those, of course, leaving spiritual things out altogether. They would say, I'd sooner be red than dead. Others, more loyal, they say, I would sooner be dead than be red. They're the kind of people who are true Americans. I would sooner be dead than be red or be a communist. Others say, well, what's the use? I'd sooner be red than dead. If I've got to go along with it in order to save my life, that's what I'll do. That's defeatist. You're either going to be for Christ or for Satan, the one or the other. Jesus Christ is the personification of all truth. The devil is the personification of all lies, all error, and all falsehood. And so all truth is in Jesus Christ. Pilate said when Jesus stood before him, what is truth? And before he gave Christ time to answer, Pilate left the courtroom. That's true with people today. What is truth? And before you have time to answer them or explain it, they've got to go. And so all truth is in Jesus Christ. Think of the various lovely Bible truths. The truth of the new birth. when a soul passes from death unto life, the truth of the forgiveness of sins, all your sins forgiven, the truth of peace with God, that wonderful attitude of the heart, that warm assurance that all is right between God and your soul, the wonderful truth of peace with God, the wonderful truth of everlasting life, and you have that everlasting life right now. The truth of justification, the truth of regeneration, the truth of reconciliation, and the truth of sanctification, the truth of propitiation, the truth of redemption, and eventually the truth of glorification. All these wonderful truths are in Jesus Christ. You don't have any of these truths if you don't have Jesus Christ. And as you read in Colossians or Corinthians 1:30, Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. And in Jesus Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's not a precious truth in the Bible that doesn't have its center and circumference in Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And I'm not interested in anything else outside of those three. The way, the truth, and the life. The devil, on the other hand, is a liar from the beginning. He's the personification of error, false doctrine, and falsehood. The Lord knows there are plenty of such things abounding in the world today. Plenty of error, plenty of false doctrine, false cults, and plenty of falsehood. Let's take a moment of Satan and what the Lord Jesus has to say concerning this arch enemy of God and man. If you return to John 8:44, we spoke on it a few weeks ago, but we didn't have time to get into this verse. Jesus Christ says, speaking, and notice, he's speaking to a religious leader. He's speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, men who claim to speak with authority from the Bible. He says, you are of your father the devil. Now notice, it's the truth that's speaking. Jesus Christ is the spokesman. And he says to these religious leaders, you are of your father the devil. On the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a liar from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, for the truth is not in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of himself, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's what Jesus Christ said about the devil. And you may read it yourself in John 8:44. He speaks of him as a personality. He is a liar from the beginning. He doesn't say it's an influence. It's a personality. He's a character. And in those verses, or that verse which I read, three things are mentioned. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's a lustful character. The lust of your father he will do. And he's a liar. He's a liar. One time I was sitting at the table of a certain gentleman, a minister of a certain denomination. We'd been quite friendly up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I used the word liar during the course of a conversation. Oh, he said, you shouldn't use a word like that. That's not polite to use a word like that. Well, although I was in his home eating at his table, I wouldn't take that. I said, the Lord Jesus used it. And he called different individuals liars. What do you want me to say? The devil was a fibber? Or something like that? Christ said he's a liar. And so is everyone that tells lies. No beating around the bush. He's a liar. That's what the Lord Jesus said. And he's a liar from the beginning. Go right back to the beginning of the human race. What did he say to Eve? God says, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And along comes the devil and says, ye shall not surely die. You won't die. In other words, he was telling her a lie, that she wouldn't suffer the consequence. She wouldn't pay the debt if she did what God told her not to do. She listened to the lie of the devil. She partook of that forbidden fruit. And you see the mess the world's in today. Sin entered into the world because
She, Eve, listened to the lie of the devil. God says you will die. The devil says you won't. And Eve listened to the liar, and she suffered the consequence. And so he's a liar right from the beginning of the human race. He's the father of lies. That's quite an expression, isn't he? The father of lies. You know, it saddens my heart to see how people will tell barefaced lies about their spiritual condition. I think it was Thursday night I received a phone call from Atlanta to go and see an old man that's over in this hospital in America. An old man, about 75 years of age. I know his niece in Atlanta, and of course she's the daughter of this man's sister. I've never met his sister, but I have met his niece. And the day before yesterday, he made this remark. He said, I would like to go to heaven. He said, but I don't think God could forgive me. I've been such a wicked, ungodly man all my life. I don't think God would forgive me, but I would like to go to heaven. The doctors have given him 2 to 3 weeks to live. He's got to be fed through the veins. So when they got this news, they were so happy. The first break, the first crack they've seen in that man over the years. Hasn't been a church goer. He lived a wicked, ungodly life. Now the end's in sight. I got the phone call, would I mind going over and seeing? They were so delighted, the family was, that he should show any interest in spiritual things. So I went over Friday afternoon. I was shown into the room where this old man was, and it was quite evident, one or two looks at him, that he wasn't here for long. So I told him how I was paying this visit. I was coming at the request of his sister and niece. And I'd already told him that I was a minister of the gospel. So he said, well, he said, I'll tell you, if there's a Christian in this world, he said, my sister is it. She's really got it. I said, yes, I think she has. And I said, the reason she's a Christian, and your niece, whom I know, is because somewhere along the line, in their life, they discovered they were lost sinners, and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they were born again through the blood of Christ. That's why they're Christians. Now, I said, Mr. Bruton, have you ever had such an experience in your life?
Oh, yes, he said, yeah, when I was a boy, he said, I'm in Sunday school, going to church.
What a liar. The day before, he admitted to the nurse who conveyed the news to the family that he would like to go to heaven. He had lived a wicked, ungodly life, but he didn't think God could forgive. Then when he's face to face with someone who's trying to help, he comes out with a deliberate, barefaced lie. Now God heard that. Why aren't men and women truthful? Why don't they come out and say, I'm not a Christian. I would to God I were. I'm not saved. I wished I were saved. I don't have the assurance of salvation I'd like to have. But oh no, the pride of the human heart comes up. I don't want to admit that I'm not a Christian. Here's a man telling a deliberate lie in the very jaws of death. A lot of good it'll be to him to make such a statement when he breathes his last. But I'll tell you, I've met them right here in Albany. I've met people right here in this chapel who told me and in their home that they're not Christians. When we have a visiting preacher like we did here about a month ago, this visiting preacher went up to one of these men and said, well, when are you going to get saved? Because this preacher had asked me, and I was sitting over there. He said, is that man a Christian? I said, no. So he went up to him after the meeting. He says, are you a Christian?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you are a Christian.
Why lie about it? You're not getting by with it. The Lord knows all about it. And there's nothing wrong with admitting you're a lost sinner. People seem to think that to admit they're lost sinners is to admit they're bandits, robbers, harlots, drunks, the scum of the earth. Oh, I couldn't admit that. No, you're not admitting you're that. You're just admitting that you haven't been born again. That you haven't had an experience that qualifies you for heaven. You may be a clean, modest, moral, respectable, educated, cultured, refined individual. And people respect you for that. But you've got to have a spiritual birth if ever you're going to be in heaven. What's the use, lie? You might as well come out and admit it. That's what the Lord Jesus said. The good seed falls in an honest and good heart and brings forth fruit. It's the heart that's honest with God, and honest with himself. Lord, I'm just not saved. God can do something with a person like that. He can't do anything with a liar. And the devil is the father of lies. He says, you're of your father, the devil. Strong, stern language. I couldn't use it if it weren't in the Bible. What's the purpose of Satan in conceiving lies and propagating them? The fall of man. He's the prince and the power of the air, the Bible said. He's the god of this age. And he's spoken of as the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And the whole world lieth in the arms of the wicked one, the Bible said. Is it any wonder our world is going down? When the Bible says that the world is lying in the arms of the wicked one. And here's our planet with its cargo of human freight hurtling through space onto a collision, a meeting with Almighty God. When God's going to receive, he's going to deliver the world out of the hands of the wicked one. Saving all who want to be saved from the judgment that is to come. And his weapon. If you have his purpose, the fall of man, the weapon he uses is the lie. In contrast to Jesus Christ, the truth. Christ says, I am the truth. But there's a liar going around. And he's telling all kinds of lies. I am the truth. He's a liar. And the Lord speaks of him in two ways. He's the roaring lion on one occasion. He's the angel of light on another occasion. My, the devil, like a chameleon, can change color. He can act as a roaring lion. He can act as the angel of light, just like an angel. You know, the devil doesn't have any objection to you joining a modernistic church. None whatever. He doesn't have any objection to you joining a modernistic church and contributing to a modernistic church and working in a modernistic church. In fact, he'll encourage you. If he can get you to hell that way, that's all he wants. But you try coming to Christ, to receive Christ and be born again and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, he'll oppose that. And the devil has no objection to you joining a modernistic church or a church that doesn't stand for the fundamentals of the Word of God. In fact, he'll encourage you to do it. He's a liar from the beginning. He says, sure, it's all right. One church is good enough. Go ahead, join. Work hard. Give your money. Yes, he's a liar. That's what the Bible says. Friend, he'll tell you who want to be saved this morning, there's lots of time. Just put it off. Even when the death rattles in your throat, you've only a few more moments to live, the liar from the beginning will say, put it off. Just a little more, just a little longer, until you breathe your last day's gasp. But he's a liar. From the beginning, he's a liar right unto the end. He'll begin to plant lies in your little ear as young as he can get you. And finally, your last breath, he's right at your bedside to try and tell you a lie. Tell you you're good. You're a fine individual. You don't need this thing called the new birth. The truth says, the Lord Jesus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ says, today is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The liar says, tomorrow.
The truth says, today if you will hear his voice,
harden not your heart. The liar says, sometime in the future. Who are you going to believe? The truth, Jesus Christ, or the liar, the devil? So the lie is his weapon. You know, in the day to come, it's very significant. The Antichrist is called the lie. The lie. Why is he the lie? You know, the Jews today don't believe that Jesus Christ was their Messiah. That's why the Jews won't accept the gospel. In the day to come, the Jew will tell you that you speak to any Jew, they're still looking for their Messiah. They're still looking for their coming king to deliver them from the nations and set up a kingdom, and they'll be the leading nation. That's what the Jews are looking for. The old Orthodox Jews. They don't believe that Jesus Christ was their king. No, they don't believe that. And there's a man coming, the Bible says. And he's going to claim to be Christ. He said, I'm the Christ. I'm the one that the Jews have been looking for. He's going to perform miracles. And you know, they're going to believe. They're going to believe the lie. For this man's going to claim to be the long sought after Jewish Messiah when Christ came 1900 years. He's going to try and deceive that nation and deceive the world. He says, I am the Antichrist. I am the Christ. I am the true Messiah. I'm the one. And he's going to have remarkable supernatural powers, but who's going to give them to him? Read it in the Revelation chapter 30. Satan is going to concentrate his power in the beast. And the beast there is this monster of iniquity that we're speaking of. And that's what the world's hastening for. The Bible speaks of a one church, a world church, with Rome as its head. I don't need to elaborate on that. You've got the ecumenical council. The world speaks of the world with one dictator. A powerful personality. Who's that one man? The coming beast of Revelation 13 that comes up out of the sea that speaks, and he tells us, the Bible tells us what the sea is, kindreds, tongues, peoples, and nations. The fact that the sea speaks of its restlessness, its turmoil, its revolutionary spirit. And out of it comes this monster. Why is he going to be so powerful? The devil is going to concentrate all his power in the beast. That's why he's going to be so powerful. But he's the lie. What does the Bible say? God shall send them strong delusions that they might believe the lie. What about all these cults, these false cults around today? Doctrines of demons. It's a wonder people are not confused. Say, well, which church is right? This one comes to my door and peddles something and say, they're right. The Mormons. Or the Jehovah's Witnesses. Or something else comes to my door. They all are sincere. They all claim to be right. They all quote Bible. Yes, that's the devil's tactics, like old Hitler, divide and conquer. But I'll tell you a way you can easily get rid of those people who come to your door. Preach Christ to them. Face them with the truth. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. His blood alone will put away sin. And they'll soon be passing on to the next door. They don't like the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. And today the devil has got all kinds of representatives in the world. Religious representatives. God says in the latter days, I'm going to send the world strong delusions. They'll believe the lie. Because they received not the love of the truth. There it is, the truth, that they might be saved. God said, I've given them 1900 years to accept my son, to trust him and be saved and know their sins forgiven. But in the latter days, they're going to turn from him. And they'll begin to believe the lie. And the Bible says the spirit of the Antichrist already is at work, preparing the way for that coming monster of iniquity who will be the lie. The lie. The personification of the devil in this world.
I wonder if you're listening to his voice this morning. Are you listening to that inner voice? The voice of the devil? Or are you listening to the voice of the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. You know, people don't like the truth. They don't like it. They don't like you to walk up and say, are you a Christian? Are you born again? Are you going to heaven? Well, I was brought up in an area and a part of the country where I'll tell you we had preachers that didn't mind using the truth. In other words, they had a shock treatment. They'd walk up to you and say, are you born again? No, well, you're going to hell. It's time you thought about it. That was the shock treatment. And I'll tell you, it shocked a lot of people. And people need that today. We've become too sophisticated. Oh, don't use the word hell. Say, there might be a place where you might be unpleasant. Instead of coming out and quoting the truth, if I were to say to you folks, the operation of combustion is proceeding yonder, you say, what in the world are you talking about? But if I said that house over there is on fire, you know what I'm talking about. It both mean the same thing. When Christ says there's a hell and a lake of fire, he means it. That's the truth. You can't dodge it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and people don't like the truth. Seeing they don't like the truth because it hurts, they'll have to have the lie. And that'll hurt more. In the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, for that's where the lie is going. The Bible says they'll be cast into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone with the devil and his angels. So friend, it's up to you whether you want the truth or whether you want the lie. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now the life. He that hath the Son hath life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, how wonderful this life is. He that hath the Son hath life. This is eternal life, because it always has been. It's everlasting life, for it always will be. It's everlasting life. Christ is the source of that life. He says that himself. In him was life. So Jesus Christ is the source of this life. He's the giver of life. I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, not even myself. For I'm a man. He is the sustainer of life. He says, he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so you walk in him. You receive Christ to be saved, and as you feed on Christ day after day, afterwards you live the Christian life. He sustains you. He strengthens you. He's the sustainer of life. He's the assurance of life. He that hath the Son hath life. There's no question about it. 1 John 5:13. He that hath the Son, or verse 12, Rob. You have life. There's no question about that. And he's the security of life. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And when God hides a thing, I'll challenge anybody to find it, even the dead. God says your life is hid with Christ in God. That's how secure we are. And then he's an abundant life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant. So here you have Christ saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Man lost the way, he believed the lie, he experienced death through Adam. But friend, you find the way, and you find the truth, and you find the light in Jesus Christ. Just the opposite. In other words, reconciliation means you found the way. And then again, illumination means you found the truth. The truth has illuminated. Regeneration means you found the light. And it's all in Jesus Christ. Three wonderful words, reconciled to God, illuminated, regenerated. As to the way, yes, I found the way. As to the truth, I found the truth. As to the life, I found the life. It's all in Jesus Christ. And with all the hundreds and hundreds of religions in the world, all you got to do is have Jesus Christ according to this book. And that's it. It's not Jesus Christ and. It's not Jesus Christ plus. It's Jesus Christ period. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that hath the Son hath life. With Christ you have everything. Without Christ, you have nothing. Now that's the Bible. He is the way to walk. He is the truth to trust. He is the life to live. And as Thomas A. Kempis so put it, an old divine of a century or two ago, I am the way, beside me there is no going. I am the truth, beside me there is no knowing. I am the light, beside me there is no living. Without Christ, you're without God, you're without hope, and have no heaven to anticipate, and you're without true solid peace, you're without abiding happiness. All this is in Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I wasn't going to tell this incident, but maybe I will. Or possibly I should leave it to another time. But I will tell. It happened back in 1957, and I mentioned this from the pulpit, this pulpit, right after it happened. It was when that hurricane struck in Louisiana in 1957, when 450 people lost their lives. A young mechanic by the name of Robert Jeffries stood on in front of one of the buildings there where there was a high flight of stairs, and there he stood at 2 o'clock in the morning warning the people about the hurricane that was to come. His red, wiry hair was flying in the wind as the young man at 2 a.m. in the morning fled to the people. He says, folks, get into your car and go! If you can't get in the car, ride on top of the car. Get somewhere, but get gone. And he warned them of the hurricane that was to come. Five were impressed, and five got out. That's all. Just five. You know what happened the next morning? 3 hours and a half later, after young Jeffries left those steps. This hurricane's Audrey winds 100 miles an hour, and a tidal wave made Cameron, Louisiana, rock to the Gulf of Mexico. Five of that audience escaped. Yes, that's like people today. All I am from Sunday to Sunday is just like this young gentleman, trying to warn people of that which has got to come. The government report was very interesting. I clipped it out. The government report was this. Val Peterson, former civil defense administrator, who toured the area as the president representative a day after the hurricane struck, said unqualifiedly, few, if any, people needed to die. They had ample warning and could have left if they had wanted to. People died believing Audrey wouldn't hit. They listened to another voice inside that said, well, we've heard it before. We'll survive this one. The young fellow's sincere, but he's a little extreme and fanatic. The United States Weather Bureau did its job, says the president's representative. Did his job well. Hurricane Audrey was as well, if not better, identified, plotted, and predicted than any other hurricane. What went wrong, is the government report. What happened, besides the unbelief of the people? The government investigator said those who announced the warning over the radio and TV were not sufficiently blunt, not sufficiently vivid, not clear enough. They were too scientific. They were too professional. I thought to myself, what a rebuke to preach. Men getting up and announcing the approaching danger, just like they would announce a ball game or something like that. There was no earnestness in their voice. And the government has that report done. They were too professional. They were too scientific. Not earnest enough to cause people to leave their homes and flee. The science of meteorology did its job, says the government report. The users of the English language did not do theirs. How sad that is. You know, when the sun is shining and the birds are singing, and the flowers are blooming and the children are laughing and playing, it's so hard to believe that Jesus is coming. It's so hard to believe that what I'm talking about and have been talking about, and other preachers like Billy Graham, Lee Hahn, and Fuller are talking about, that one of these days is going to happen. So hard to believe that. The day before that hurricane hit Cameron, Louisiana, it was a happy little town. No one ever thought the next day it would be part of the Gulf of Mexico. No one thought that awful earthquake would hit Alaska the day before. Things start and happen suddenly. I want to say about this hurricane, before the report went on, when the next hurricane Bertha struck, they moved in a hurry. Those who survived Audrey had a chance to flee the next hurricane Bertha. Those who survived had another chance when the next hurricane came. You won't have another chance. When Jesus Christ comes, that's it. Make no mistake about it. There's no such thing as a second chance in the things of God. And here's the amazing thing. I talked to one of the meteorologists on Mrs. Cutler's veranda. So many of you knew Mrs. Cutler. I talked with him one day. He was a friend of the family. I think he was kind of a distant relative. I talked to this fellow, his name was Mr. Oliver, just after the hurricane had struck. And Mr. Oliver, I think he still announces out of Birmingham, Alabama. And he sat there, Mr. Oliver, Mrs. Cutler, and myself, talking about this awful hurricane. You know what he said? He said you could not blast the people out of the places of vice and pleasure and their comforts of home. They heard so many previous warnings, they just wouldn't listen. Yes, and he said this, they were too hard-headed, they were too unbelieving. As I left her porch, I jotted this down. But here's the sad part of it. When he got through, like Mrs. Cutler would, she couldn't miss the opportunity. And right away, she started warning him of the judgment that was to come. He said, I've got to go. He was manifesting the very same thing that he was condemning the people of Cameron for. They were warned and they wouldn't heed. Mrs. Cutler, in her faithfulness, warned him. And soon as she warned him of judgment to come and the need for being saved, she said, I gotta go. That's just like people today. And friend, whether you like it or not, Christ is coming, and judgment day soon. One thing I know I'll never do is drive anybody away from the Albany Gospel Chapel by preaching for money. But I know I can drive people away by preaching the gospel, by telling them they're lost and they need to be saved. And I can even possibly drive some Christians away by impressing upon them the claims of Jesus Christ and the demands of this blessed book. But if I do, I'll hold my head high when I meet my God and you'll drop yours. I make no apologies for preaching the gospel. It's here. And I'll tell you, friend, Jesus Christ is coming, and unless you're born again and know Christ, you'll be left outside for judgment. Oh, the master of lies, the father of lies. Some of you are going to believe him this morning. That's the sad thing. You're lost, you know it, You know how to be saved. You know you should be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ, the truth, is trying to tell you to accept him this morning. The devil says, don't do it. Put it off. And you believe the lie. Wait and see. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be? God help you to say, I'll trust you. I'll take it. I'll do it right now. You'll never regret. You'll have the truth. You can face the world with the way, the right way, with the truth, and with the life, the new life in Christ that will take you to heaven and give you a mansion in the sky. God grant you may make that decision right now. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to thee. We ask thy blessing upon thy word. We thank thee for those who have listened to it, and we trust have heeded it. How solemn these things are, how searching, because they're scriptural. And Father, we pray that precious souls today will heed these things. May the Spirit of God bear in upon their hearts these truths. Why do men and women not want thy Son? In a world so dark and so dreary, why do they want to go on in their sins without the Savior, when the future is so threatening and foreboding, when all in Christ is so serene and so safe and so secure? Grant the precious hearts this day may open wide to the Savior and let him in. We ask it for Christ's sake. 226. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst to me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Maybe you have trusted Christ during the meeting or during the week. Would you like to tell us? I think it'll bring added joy into your heart. Why should you be afraid and ashamed of Jesus Christ? Will you gladden his heart today by saying, Lord Jesus, I will trust thee. I'll trust thee with my soul. I'm guilty. I'm lost. And I'm helpless. But thou canst make me whole. Register your decision. We stand and sing. 226.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
As I am, I'm waiting not. Are you listening to that young man warning you of the hurricane? Are you going to be among the few who are going to get out? Are you going to stay and face it? That's your decision. Verse 2.
Just as I am, I'm waiting not to
someone come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, but O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, by thee.
to speak to anyone after the meeting if you're interested. Be back tonight at 7:45 for our sermon on O Ye of Little Faith. Pick up one of these books if you'd like to have.